What will you do with augmented reality? And just how are brands using it to successfully market these amazing experiences to consumers? I'm Kareem Taylor, contributing editor at Promax BDA, and you're listening to the Daily Brief podcast. Today, we're going to New York City, back to the Promax BDA Conference 2018 for a session titled Augmented Reality in Focus. We're in an era of branded AR in which consumers can now create their own content. In this session, Brian Holman, Executive Creative Director and partner from We Are Royale, Lauren Judah, Creative Director, also from We Are Royale, and Dave Perry, VP of Social Media at Nickelodeon, walk us through how to engage consumers with new, customizable, interactive entertainment. Let's listen in.
Thank you. Well, hey, guys, how's it going? So we've been working with AR for a good 4 to 5 years now. We've watched it grow from this kind of fledgling, very experimental, very kind of one and done sort of situation to see it start to flourish and prosper and actually start to break through kind of the mainstream as it becomes more accessible, as people start to understand, like consumers are now being trained. They understand how to manipulate and play in AR. And we've been lucky enough to create some really good sort of tool sets for consumers to play. A while back, we teamed up with Nickelodeon and Dave's team to start to play with the imagination of kids and how that translates over from Nickelodeon's brand. And so today, we're going to kind of walk you through kind of a conversation that Lauren and I have often in the office, which is kind of the best practices of AR, kind of what we think constitutes longevity in AR, so that we can get away from building experiences that are very one and done, we're cool, to something that actually engages people that they want to come back and engage with on a constant basis, which is kind of the holy grail of every experience. We're gonna walk you through large scale activations and kind of how they look. We're also gonna walk you through small scale activations. And those distinguishing factors don't really, like, I'm not trying to discount small scale versus large scale. They're all equally important. It's just sort of taking a look at the investment and sort of the outcome that you hope to achieve with each. And after that, Dave is going to talk about what we've been working on with him and what his team has been working on in the AR field. And I've heard that he also has something fun to announce, which should be awesome to get into. So before we go any further, we have some charts and data and graphs that Lauren has so elegantly put into presentation. So
you gotta
need
kick
to
off
start with data.
You gotta start it with a good number. So I'm sure you guys have seen this number. It's already 2 years old, but basically we spend 5 hours a day on average on our smartphones. And that number, even though it's 2 years old, is still a pretty profound number to consider. It means we're getting used to these devices. We wanna use these devices. And to see where it's come from, when we look at like the next chart, you'll see that we're basically headed towards a convergence. And so this chart is actually considering one piece of media if we're going to view it on TV, basically over air or cable, and if it's that same piece of media, watching it online distribution, streaming. And you can see how that convergence, even though 2018, 19, those are just projections, it's gonna happen pretty soon. So it basically means we're getting used to these devices and our consumption habits are changing as we get used to them. We want to use them. We're getting comfortable with it, and technology keeps changing, and we adopt new ways of viewing our favorite content.
Yeah, and when we speak about a connected culture here, we're not just talking about socially connected and everybody wanting to kind of make a human connection, but it's also our connection with content is changing. The fact that the way that I consume media right now is so diverse across so many different platforms, AR becomes the future of that experience.
So that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about why AR is the future of connectivity, why it's the future of the prosumer, which is kind of a big point that we like to explore. We'll start off real quick here just to kind of go over the basics. So we've got virtual reality, augmented reality, and mixed reality. And so the point we want to make here is just we're going to talk about augmented reality in this talk, but we know what virtual reality is. It's the headsets, it's immersive, it's where you get transported to a place. Augmented reality is putting that content out in your world. So in this case, you either put it on your face, do the dog face look, or you put stuff out, put a character out there, put environmental stuff. Yeah. When we get into mixed reality, this is, we're starting to experiment with it, but technology needs to catch up a little bit. Mixed reality is when we kind of merge the two, and when that content becomes aware of its spatial surroundings.
And that's the big thing, and not to harp on this slide, because we do need to move on, don't we? But really, mixed reality is kind of like advanced augmented reality, right? At the point where our devices understand where we are, like right now with Apple's platform, right? Like we understand where a plane is, and maybe like a tabletop, cool. But when it starts to understand that this is the facade of a building, cool. Like this is where your couch is, and we're able to isolate that couch and then place an experience around it. It just sort of takes the idea of augmented reality and really immerses you in the content.
Yep. So let's talk about a few things real quick. These are going to be the points that we kind of touch on as we look at some projects in a little bit. But basically, we want to talk about the prosumer. The prosumer specifically in the maker culture. And the reason we like this so much is because AR is not only a medium for entertainment, but it's also a tool. It's a creative tool, because that's what people are doing with all this content. They're taking IP, whether it's characters or masks or environments, and they're playing with it. And they're creating content to then share it. And all of this because they just love it so much.
It's the idea that everybody is creative to some degree.
Really, and believe that. And even like the lenses themselves, they're just fun to play with. Whether or not they get shared, the amount of time people spend just trying on the different lenses to just find the one that they like is really just an amazing touch point between a brand and an actual person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like going to a costume store. The other element is this human connection element, and there's kind of two prongs to it. One angle is the human connection where it's inherently social, and so when we create this content, we're going to share it. The other angle, though, is that we want to experience it with other people. We want to do it with friends. So that's why these social platforms are blowing up with this content, because you want to share it, but you also want to engage with someone. You want to do it with your friends. And so a lot of times when we're trying on masks, or you know, the younger demographic is actually using these things, they're doing it with friends right next to them. You know, they're also sharing it, but at the same time, they're also engaging together.
It's facilitating that connection.
And technology is catching up to that. We're going to experience that sort of towards the end of this year, where we're going to create augmented reality experiences that multiple people can experience at the same time.
Mm-hmm. So for us, these are the two things that we consider whenever we're looking at creating an experience. We're not just looking at creating like a one-off thing that pops up in your world, because that is a thing that can be done, sure. But we're trying to appease these two points, and it's in an effort for whatever experience we make to last longer. If you create something that people actively want to use, like a tool set that they want to create, it could be lenses, it could be affecting their world, that's a part of it, and then tying that to connecting them to not only the content, but to each other. Mm-hmm. Empowering our desire to create.
Basically. I mean, that's kind of what this is all about, right?
Yep.
So check out these two projects. Now, these are fairly recent. They're both AR drawing apps. And the drawing app is kind of like the weather app. It's something that developers and creatives do right when a new technology comes out. And they play with it, right? But what's interesting about these is not only that they're drawing in 3D space, and they're creating animations, and they're creating these designs and sharing with them, but the one on the left, this World Brush one, it actually allows you to, whenever you create a three-dimensional drawing, it stays in that location in the real world. And so this is when it's starting to push into mixed reality. So if someone else is using this same network, this same app, they could travel to Venice Beach and they could look at these drawings. They're going to exist there forever.
This starts to bring up a really cool concept, which is this idea of permanence. This idea that what we create in AR isn't a fleeting thing that sort of pops off whenever we lose the track. Like that, those days are gone, thank God. But we're at a place where, you know, sure, the apps are going to better understand our world around us, but also the things that we affect in AR can have lasting consequences if I share it with my friends. So really, you're looking at a kind of a world here pretty soon where you've got reality, cool, but you've got this alternate sort of reality of AR sort of skinned on top of that, that you can access through the lens of your phone or your device or whenever we get to walking around with cool looking glasses at least.
From a brand perspective, these things are awesome, and they're also huge investments. So this idea of permanence, that if there is this way to have, sure, ephemeral content is great, and it's that's awesome, but as far as a long tail or a longer term investment, having things that stay in the real world or in this fake world longer is really helpful from a brand perspective.
And permanence in terms of just like geolocation and where it is in physical space is one thing, but also understanding, you know, timelines too. Something that is only affected, you know, live in a matter of 3 hours or something that evolves over time is things that we'll start to see.
Yeah, you could have performance pieces.
You can have flash mobs.
Yeah.
AR flash mobs.
Exactly. Before we do that, we want to kind of...
This is Lauren and I going on a rant.
A side rant.
So we'll kind of last through this.
Unified AR ecosystems, we don't have that yet. Everything is broken apart. They're all throwing their hats in the ring, right? So look at this. Like, these are all the big guns, and they're trying to figure it out. And the fact that they're creating this technology and letting us explore it as creatives is really, really cool. We're excited about it. I mean, even Bose is trying to do something in AR. Of course, they're doing it with audio, but still.
AR audio.
They're doing their own ecosystem. They're all different ecosystems. So it's like when you try and decide which one you're going to use, it's not entirely helpful. Now, hopefully that filters itself out. They usually do. But right now, it's a tough situation.
And again, back to what I was saying, from a brand perspective, you have limited funds and limited reach on each platform. So we have to look at Snapchat, what that offers, what Facebook offers, and now with Instagram opening up their API for developers to make AR experiences, we have to be currently very specific about where we want to choose because they don't really speak the same language from a technology standpoint.
You got to target something, right?
Right.
I'm starting to wonder if we will even get to a place where we sort of have a unified brand. I would love to. I don't know if we will. I equate it to where social has driven us on a traditional job, right? Like, we create a 30-second spot, cool. But at the same time, I need to create, like, cutdowns that work in 9x16, 1x1, all these other different formats. And it feels like where we're going with AR from a, you know, creative studio standpoint, like, I'm going to need to create an overarching system that works as, like, a standalone larger experience, maybe, that also could work as a lens, that also could work as a smaller little thing that can work across all of these different platforms.
Yep.
Makes it complicated. But such is life. And then
you got these guys.
These guys, where are all those guys?
Who know?
They demoed something. I don't really know what it is.
Yeah, you know, Magic Leap. But yeah, so when can we have that? We don't know, but that is something that obviously as creatives, we struggle with it, and I know.
Would be nice.
You know, feel free to make it, anyone out there, if you're.
If anybody can do that, that'd be great.
Yeah.
All right, so now we're going to start to get into, you know, just some creative examples of what we're talking about. Starting with large scale. So large scale for us are bigger kind of efforts. It is standalone apps. It's an effort in building kind of immersive worlds that you can play in. Of course, with larger scale things, this is going to be a larger investment. But what you get out of that is retention. You get this idea that you're creating an ecosystem that people actively want to come back to and engage in. And the way that you do that is through incentivizing, and we'll show you a few different samples of how that is working, whether or not you're appeasing the kind of collector mentality of as soon as I come back to this, right, I get something and I take it away. One of the things that we think about as a studio, just about everything that we do, is this idea from a consumer level, it's that question of what is in it for me? I'm like, what am I going to get out of this? And we have to think about that because the way that people are bombarded constantly with media these days, asking them to engage in a very active way in AR, because it is a very interactive thing, that's a time investment, and we need to incentivize them to do that. And it can't just be like, here's a passive thing that is a one and done. It's got to be a bigger thing. So these standalone experiences begin with a thing called Ingress.
So this is...
What?
Yeah, this is an older game, but it's from a developer that some of you guys might recognize, called Niantic, and this is actually the precursor to Pokemon Go. This is the game they made before that, and they tried to develop their platform with it. And you kind of recognize, you can see a map there in this kind of mess of sci-fi-ish looking graphics. But basically, it's the same thing. You walk around the world, and you go to these parks and locations, and you interact with the elements of the game, basically. And it took off to a certain degree, but it is what led to Pokemon Go. And so then Pokemon Go comes out, right? And we all know Pokemon Go, and we're all trying to figure out how it works.
We won't harp on this slide.
We won't harp on it too long, but there's two reasons why Pokemon Go was so successful, at least two reasons, right? One reason is because it was this magic of this new technology that came out, and this was sort of the element that everyone was like, oh, so this is AR. Okay, this is really interesting. And the other element is that the IP, so Pokemon, meshes perfectly with augmented reality. Because what do they do in Pokemon? They travel the world and catch Pokemon, right? In AR, you can travel the world and you can catch Pokemon. So it's the same thing.
And
so
everyone kind of creating AR experiences that are appropriate
for the
platform.
It felt like a natural extension.
Which is really important when you're, you know, trying to figure out what IP you might want to leverage. It's really important to not force fit a marriage.
Yeah. Right.
So that's, as you said, like this was the perfect union of technology and IP that really resonated.
Yeah. And then of course we go into very recently, Jurassic World Alive came out June 1st. This is sort of taking that same track and works still pretty well with the IP, the idea that dinosaurs are out in your backyard and you're going to go catch them. Like,
who doesn't want to catch a dinosaur?
Cool. but largely it's the same as Pokemon Go. I mean, there are some differences. The gameplay is a little bit different, but it is following down that same track.
And there's an argument to be made with Jurassic World Live that it was done because there are so many people with the launch of Pokemon Go that was trained to interact with things in a certain way, that they understand this app. Fundamentally, they can just jump into this and be sort of entertained and immersed into Jurassic World without learning, like the learning curve that Pokemon Go gave everybody.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, now we're going to have Harry Potter. Wizards Unite comes out later in the summer. We don't really have any details on this, but again,
it's got a very cool magical background.
It looks nice. The key art looks good. But it kind of follows the same track. Now, this is back to Niantic. Niantic's making it. And what's interesting about this is the IP actually does mesh very well, again, with AR. Because if you remember, in the Harry Potter universe, there's this alternate reality that exists that only certain people can see. So
think
you tap into
that through the lens of your phone. Yeah,
it works well. So again, those are just examples of how this is one track, obviously, because they're following that model and they're continuing to refine it and revise it. But it's not the only thing, and so that's kind of why we want to get into this idea of broadcast sports. And this is what we're pretty excited about. There's a lot of interest in this, and it's been stuff that we've been exploring internally as well. But basically, broadcast sports on all the networks have been using AR for a very long time. It goes all the way back to the fact that you put the guard marker down on the football field. That is AR, right? It's very simple, but it's there. Now they're doing these really elaborate sort of pop-up 3D animations that are tracking in real time and then broadcasting. But being able to do that, putting that in the palm of the user's hand, is actually not that hard. And so this is something that augmented reality on a device is going to achieve pretty soon.
Yeah, there's nothing stopping us from doing this similar thing within the, you know, your own personal device
right.
as you're staring at the TV.
And so then it's kind of like, well,
or extending it out into your living room and giving you the data from the game and everything that is happening live on the broadcast we can be doing in your own living room.
Right.
This is also something interesting because we've been doing some development in the in-stadium sort of experience where, look, like, you know, stadiums want to sell out seats, and one of the things that they are trying to figure out is AR, how to capture that second screen as you're there in the game live during this live event, giving you something that you can only access, an experience that you can only access as you're there on game.
And that's really interesting with that new technology coming out with the cloud-based AR, where people in the same physical space can have a shared experience
like
in AR.
Like one experience.
That's really
and affect it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they can essentially replay the play that you just saw. You point it down there, you can look on the field, and you can watch it basically
instant
play down
replay.
Again.
So instant AR replay.
There's quite a bit of exciting stuff there.
So when we start to talk about smaller scale experiences, again, that's not to discount them at all, but these are, you know, kind of smaller experiences that aren't intended to be entire ecosystems. What they are you know, they are the lenses of the world. They are sort of smaller nuggets, kind of snackable content. It's kind of what we're talking about. Very social native. We're talking about like the Snapchat lenses and what we're doing with Facebook. Smaller budget, yes, but you can do more of these little snippets of content,
yeah,
which is kind of fun.
So right out of the gate, we can talk about Snapchat. I mean, we know what Snapchat is. How do we use it?
It's a thing.
Yeah, you got to get creative with it, right? The reason we want to show this, though, is that this is very creative, and this is actually pushing the envelope of what Snapchat and all of these sort of executions can do. And this was a thing for Stranger Things 2, the release. And instead of just putting on a mask or transporting yourself for, you know, makeup or whatever, you actually go to the environment. You go to the room that was in the show, and you can explore it. becomes
goes,
a sort of
it goes
gateway.
Way beyond just the lens. This is actually like immersing yourself in the show. Also, though, we would say that like this is totally appropriate for the IP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're really interested in those kind of things at Nickelodeon too. And back to the small budget, some of those things are not, you know,
when it comes
to like building 3D
it's
worlds.
Not Pokemon
that are,
Go, for yeah. sure. But
no,
yeah.
not Pokemon Go, but
still a thing. It's still a thing.
Environment, yeah. Building an environment, yeah. I mean, it really depends. It depends on what the creative needs to be. And so when we go to Facebook has, I mean, basically three different distribution models, different platforms. Within that, though, they do push a little bit more towards having keeping a conversation going. So the stuff that we've done and the stuff that we know with the Facebook platforms, it's that they don't want someone to make a video and then send it to their friends. They actually want to get people together, and then you have a chat where you can engage with them and call up basically different AR content.
Yeah, they look at AR as kind of an active participant in the conversation. So if you have a four-up window and like mm-hmm. a four-way video call, then how can you leverage AR content to play within those windows?
Right.
Or be like more of a self-expression kind of thing within that. But it is more of a, like, this goes on for the video chat. It's not just one and done posting.
Yeah. Okay, and then AR shareables. So this is just a term that we're using, mostly because we didn't want to just take Google's term. But Google has this thing called AR stickers, and Apple just released their file format. What this is making augmented reality content, such as these stormtroopers here, it's making it so easy and tangible that you can share it just like through a text message, like you would a picture. So basically, this fall, when this format comes out from Apple, and what we'll be able to do is we can make 3D characters, animations, whole environments and scenes.
Entire scenes, yeah.
And you can embed it on a website, you can text it to a friend, you can email it to someone, and all they have to do is tap it, and it takes them right into being able to play with it. There's no ecosystem here aside from the OS.
There is no additional app you need to download. You just go straight to the camera that's built into your device.
Yeah.
That is super powerful, and that starts to make sure that this that AR is as accessible as, you know, everybody in this room has a device that they can do AR through.
Yeah.
What's preventing a lot of this is sort of distribution, you know? Like, how do you call attention to this? How do you send it to a person? How do you convince them to, Lord forbid, download an app? What the promise of this, of just sort of sharing an entire scene that's kind of baked together as easy as sharing an image, is going to kind of change what we do.
Right, because the apps are tough. Getting, like, making an app and then having people
download it. You got to build it, and then you got to market it, and you got to make
it's
people.
It's not as cool as it was. So being able to text a friend, a 3D character, like even if it'll become easy enough to just make your own and then just send it to someone as just like a one-off thing, that's when AR becomes really powerful.
And that's also where we get into this idea of creativity, you know, like the World Brush example that we had. You know, when this becomes a thing and I can share something that I created, it's like this is the platform to share it through. You know, like creating an app where I can actually physically sculpt something in space and place it in space and then package that up and share it with Lauren is cool.
Yeah. All right. So that's exciting.
So this is where we kind of hand over the keys to the kingdom to Dave to talk about some of the fun stuff. But I will set up that, that, you know, over the years working with Nickelodeon, the one thing that I admired about the brand is that the creativity of Nickelodeon, the how it encourages experimentation is a thing that is perfect for the platform, for AR. And so we are super excited to not only work with them, but also see what they are coming up with over there. So
cool. So yeah, so late last year we worked with Weird Al to create a Facebook effect for Hey Arnold, which is a popular show in the 90s, which came back as a movie. So what better way to excite millennials on Facebook by letting them be their favorite character from Hey Arnold? With the selfie lens was just one character, and then if you did it with the world lens, you and three friends could be the Hey Arnold cast. It was really fun experience. These guys, you should see the cutting room floor version where they turned your head into a football. It was very,
it got,
did not work.
It got weird. We did a lot of
it. We did. They showed
we got worse.
But it was horrible. This was great.
This much better.
Next, we knew at Nickelodeon that being able to slime yourself was a huge opportunity. But just this past weekend in Chicago, Nick threw the first U.S. Slime Fest, which is a concert event filled with slime, and we quickly pivoted this this creative to be a way to engage with fans in a way to promote Slime Fest, but also on the ground at Slime Fest. So there we had signage that told you how to get the lens, and also a QR code that you scanned and brought you directly to the lens itself, and was a really immersive experience that just happened.
Yeah, I love that ago. Because it starts to bridge the gap between here's just, you know, a single lens that is super fun to play with, but tying that to an on-the-ground activation is awesome.
I think that's when AR also gets really cool, is because you're looking through a lens again. So if you can tie it with an event.
Coordinate it with an event.
Use it at an event, like, that's cool.
So then, this is it. This is the big announcement. So Nick is extremely excited to finally announce that as of next month, we'll be able to augment television. So we're working feverishly to create an app on iOS and Android that is at its core a second screen synced app with one unique difference. With on-air messaging and in-app calls to action, users will lift their phone up to the screen and have an augmented reality experience tied directly to the television itself. The technology we're using is aware of the television, where it ends and begins, allowing the creative to literally spill out of the TV into their living room. So we're really excited. We're tying it to Kids' Choice Sports, which debuts in July, and we have a long-term roadmap for the plan as an experience hub for lots of kinds of these experiences we've been talking about, having them be aggregated in one place, because one of the biggest challenges in AR is the distribution model. Mm-hmm. So Nickelodeon has so many things in the hopper that by aggregating them into one app helps justify creating an app and working to market it. Yeah. Secondly, a game mechanic that we're taking directly from a proven model with Pokemon Go is that we'll be able to have fans lift their phone to the screen and unlock stickers that then they can use in their phone in perpetuity. So it's essentially gamifying television with a catch-them-all kind of concept that the more Nickelodeon you watch, the more ability you'll have to catch these really fun stickers that they can use and interact with in their real life.
Yeah, it's awesome because it directly answers the what's in it for me. It gives them incentives to actually engage in the content, engage with the live broadcast as well, which is super
so cool. We were lucky enough to partner with We Are Royale on this proof of concept. What you're seeing here is a promo we made around the fake app that we created specifically to test it with kids. So we made this app and doctored up the TV experience, and it worked, and focus grouped it with 30 kids and got amazing feedback that let us inform the current product that's being built as we speak. Yeah. So we're really excited to have worked with We Are Royale and to continue to work with them in other activations around this app.
It's awesome.
So yeah, I mean, that just kind of loops us back to kind of what we've been saying this whole time, is we are creators.
We're all creatives.
I mean, we're all creators, right? Not just
encouraged them.
And that's what AR does. It lets us kind of explore that.
Thank you again for having us out here, too. This is awesome to get up here and talk to you guys about stuff.
Paige Albiniak is editorial director of Promax BDA. Kareem Taylor produced this episode. Video helper provided the music. Digital producer Kate Lekire-Marion contributes to Daily Brief. Follow Promax BDA on Twitter, Facebook, and other social media platforms at Promax BDA. You can reach out to us at dailybrief@promaxbda.org, and you can subscribe to the Daily Brief podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.